Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is producer Tom here. Deborah is in Australia at the moment, and so I'm just jumping in to give you a few quick announcements. First of all, if you are in Australia, Deborah's tour there continues. You can see The Guilty Feminist recorded live in Perth on Monday the 20th of May, Sydney on Thursday the 23rd of May, Melbourne on Saturday 25th of May, Brisbane Monday 27th of May, and we finish in Canberra on Tuesday 28th of May. If London is closer to home, we'll be recording Guilty Feminist episodes at our regular home of King's Place on the 12th of June and the 15th of July. And we also have a special episode of Global Pillage, the comedy panel show where two teams of comedians take on the hive mind of the audience. That's hosted by Abigailia Shimon, and it's on Monday the 17th of June. And finally, if you're going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe, The Guilty Feminist will be recording three live episodes at the Gilded Balloon at the Museum on August the 12th to the 14th at 7:40 p.m. For tickets and more information about all of these, go to guiltyfeminist.com. And now, on with the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm a feminist, but I'd rather have dinner with Idris Elba than Emily Pankhurst. I'm a feminist, but sometimes Spanx are the answer to my problem. I'm a feminist, but I love submission. I'm a feminist, but sometimes I don't want my head to be a power symbol, it's just hair. I'm a feminist, but some days I think more about wanting a thigh gap than closing the pay gap. I'm a feminist, but sometimes I just want to watch a romantic comedy and pretend I'm Jane Austen. I'm a feminist, but
I'm feeling really aware that I'm a guy right now.
Trying to rain on the thunder, tell the storm I'm new. I'm a walk, I'm a march on the regular, painted white, flash blue. Lord, forgive me, I've been running. last one bird into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
In which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities that undermine them. And we've been going now for a year and 3 months, which is very, very exciting. And so this is like a landmark show. We're usually at King's Place, but in the 200-seater, and we've moved up to the 400-seater, which is very exciting. It's very grand, isn't it?
Do you know twice I've done the ooh-la-la hand? You know, the woo, and like showing your jewels. And I think that's just what poor people think fancy people do. Because when you, at the beginning, you said we're in the big room, and I was like, ooh. I'm like, no one does that, Felicity.
That's only going to work if you're wearing more jewels.
Like, I have none on and $2 nail polish.
Yeah, no. Should I?
I will lose that and break it.
I'm going to lend you that ring just so that you can do the hands. Because I want to see. Woo. See, that works better. Yeah, it works better.
I still look like a witch lady.
No,
I have unbearably flexible wrists.
No, you look beautiful.
Let me sell you some potions.
Some of you may notice that the part of Sarah Pascoe tonight is being played by Felicity Ward. Because Sarah Pascoe got caught up with Comic Relief. Did you see she's singing and dancing for Comic Relief? Yeah. Please vote for her.
She has something called a career.
No.
I have available time.
No. It's very difficult to get Felicity Ward, but we were able to because it was a Monday night.
Do you know what? I actually had to cancel a gig. Do you know what it was? Sarah Pascoe's new material night.
Ah!
So she's two down for that show.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to admit, if I've wanted a particular comedian to come and do this show, I'm going to admit to you that when they've said, oh, no, I can't because I'm doing something else, I've just texted them back three words, which works every time. feminism needs you. Isn't that emotionally manipulative?
Well done. I'm proud of you.
It does work. It does work. So today, for the very first time, we're going to talk about feminism as a topic. So as regular listeners know, just cheer if you're a regular listener. Cheer if you've never been before or heard it before. So you've never been or heard it before?
They've been dragged along.
Oh, are you plus ones?
Yeah, you can hear uncertainty in their voices.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, yeah, I don't know what this is.
You're a plus one. But you didn't prep by quickly listening to an episode so you could be in the gang. Okay, it's not normally like this. It's not normally as good. We don't have a choir. So don't expect that all the time when you listen. Don't be like, ah, this is terrible. There's no choir in this. I'm turning it off.
Okay. Do you feel pressure, though, when you're like, oh, no, this is a special one, and then what if they don't like it? I have mental health issues.
No.
Undermined by low self-esteem. Is that apparent? I don't think so. Hello.
I am very concerned that people should like me, but I feel the full confidence of the choir that they will like the show tonight.
Okay.
I feel like if they don't like the show tonight, there's something wrong with them because there's a choir. So I feel like so much responsibility is lifted off me because I have a choir.
I think that is a great way to show confidence and alienate the new people. Congratulations.
No, I don't think they do feel alienated. I think if you're ever having a bad day at work, say you've got a big project on and you're thinking, I'm really lacking confidence, I've been put in charge of this, I don't know how I feel about it. Take a little gospel choir to work with you.
just no more than four. Like, don't overdo
it. Don't overdo it. Like a four-person gospel choir. And just have them walk behind you singing feminist anthems.
Yeah.
And say you have to give the big presentation to the senior partners. It is at this point that you want them to open and close the presentation. Never explain it.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel our confidence would be sky high.
Imagine, oh my God, imagine if you did a PowerPoint presentation on an Apple laptop and you opened it and you just pretended you were pressing the button, but then the gospel choir just went,
That's a good idea. But it would be funny if, like, you got them to sing the really boring things people put on slides. Just be like,
as you can see from this pie graph, I've never had a job.
I was thinking, where's she going with this? How many people are pie graphing their way through their careers?
Do people use pie graphs?
Has anyone ever used a pie graph?
Has anyone got a job in here?
Has anyone, of course not, they're out on a school night. Who just go woo if you do presentations? Woo! Just go woo if you've ever used a pie graph.
In your face. Yeah. I'm vindictive too.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm saucy.
I was wrong. They use pie charts all the time. Anyone shout out what they were demonstrating with their pie chart? Finance.
I thought you said pineapple. I'm like, whoa, that'd be a pineapple chart.
Again, Felicity, you've never had a job.
Well,
pineapple pie chart.
It's like a pie chart, but it's got a fancy hat.
So we're discussing feminism today.
And pineapples.
If you've never been before, what we normally do is we discuss a topic through a feminist lens, but through a guilty feminist lens, because we're acknowledging what we don't do right or what we feel we don't do right or that we judge ourselves for not being good enough, etc. and so forth. But we've never talked about feminism. So today we're bravely going for the rug, tackling the full topic. How are you feeling about feminism at the moment, Flick?
We are in an interesting period with feminism. I feel like the whole world is about to explode. You know,
I feel that.
And not in feminism, but everything is about to explode. It's like everything is at the edge of its limitation. Everything is of capacity, rather. Mm-hmm. And it feels like things in the next 10 years are going to improve dramatically or die. And it feels like that there has been an explosion in sort of new wave of feminism, that different components and new elements, or not new elements, but, oh, fuck, it's hard to talk about this without getting in trouble.
I know what you mean. I feel like it's a new time for feminism, definitely.
Yes.
Did anybody get that email from the Women's Equality Party saying fifth wave feminism is here? And did anyone panic and think, I haven't even done fourth? It was like getting an email from Sandy Toksvig and thinking, I haven't done my homework, Miss Toksvig. I genuinely panicked. And then they said that they would unveil a fifth wave feminism, and I haven't had the unveiling.
Feminism hasn't been around long enough to have a fifth wave, has it?
Oh, come on, fourth wave feminism is third wave feminism with podcasts.
Yeah.
It is. It's plus hashtags. It's sort of, yes, but now we can talk to each other and find each other. But also... People who don't like feminism can find us to tell us that it's cancer.
And that's the important
Twitter
part.
Every day. Every day they can
as
find us.
As long as the people who hate us can contact us, it means we've won.
That's right.
Am I doing feminism right? Gentlemen, will you welcome Deborah Francis Wells?
So tonight we're talking about feminism, and I just thought I want to talk to you about some observations that I have for myself as a woman. This is not... Now, listen, I need to make this 25% less funny, but 100% more inclusive. See? It's already 25% less funny. By just saying, these are some observations I've made about some men and some women. This is not all men, this is not all women, it's not all anything. As I sometimes say, men in general are taller than women. That's a trend, we can see it, it's true, but that tells you nothing about Rupert Murdoch and Jerry Hall. Now, I have a lot of gay friends, being a woman in show business, and sometimes they'll refer to themselves as ladies. They'll be like, hey, ladies, get her. And I do not really like it when gay men refer to themselves as women, because gay men are men. They are men. They're testosterone-fueled men. I know this because about a year ago, I was asked to host the big gay away day for a big corporate bank. And they said, you sure... Are you finding it funny that a corporate bank would have a big gay away day? Oh, they have big gay away days. Do you work for a big corporate bank? No, no. Okay, just three people found that funnier than anyone's ever found to anything. So a lot of big corporations now, they'll have like a women's network and an LGBTQ network, and so they will then have a big gay away day. And they said, do you want to host it? And I was like, are you sure? Because I'm not LGB or T, unless you count... that week in university, unless you count 1999. And they were like, no, it'll be great. We love you, you know. And I was a little nervous at the top, like thinking, you know, why am I hosting this? But it turns out a funny girl in red shoes can become a gay icon inside 25 minutes. They did love me. At the end of the day, we went for dinner, we went for drinks, we went for more drinks, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning when they said, right, Matt's the head of gay at this company. He's the global head of gay. And we were standing in Soho, and I said, I'm going to go home. And he shouted down the street at me, Deborah, if you don't come to Shadow Lounge, I'm never going to talk to you again. And I went, because he meant that. Anyone here been to Shadow Lounge? Yeah, it's a wonderful world, isn't it? It's a wonderful... I'd never been there before. But they took me down into this basement in Soho where, I mean, you've got to go there. The men behind the bar were wearing trousers that had fronts but no backs. Just bums. Look, I'm not making that up. Genuinely, they were wearing bumless trousers and they poured out this liquid for me. And please bear in mind, I was with like 100 gay men who'd been watching me on stage all day. I was the only woman. And they poured out this liquid for me that I can now only think of as a Gager bomb. Now, I had never had this drink before, but it is more potent than anything anybody has ever drunk before. And they made me have several Gager bombs, and then they took me out onto the dance floor and the grinding commenced. Now, the way a gay man dances with you in public, it would be inappropriate for a straight man you were sleeping with to dance with you like that in private. I mean, I would call it dry humping, but it was moist. And then some sweet young gay man, probably an intern or someone on the graduate program, would take me into a booth, tell me his coming out story, and cry. And it went on like that. Gager bombs, grinding, cry. Gager bombs, grinding, cry. Gager bombs, grinding, cry. Until it went Gager bombs, grinding, into a booth with a young man who I thought would tell me a coming out story, but there was no coming out story. There was no coming out story at all. No, this young man put his tongue in my mouth. And more grinding happened. And I thought, this is probably just an extension of the grinding. This is just something. It's just a gay thing. It's just a fun thing. It's just a fun thing. It's just a fun thing. It's just a joke he stole. It's just a fun thing. But his tongue started to feel more and more straight. And so I pulled mine out and went, do you work for Bank of Scotland? And he looked at me like, that's a weird fetish. And I went, no, no, were you on the big gay away day? He went, no. And I said, so were you gay? He went, no. And I went, oh. And he went, do you want to get out of here? Why don't you come back to my place? And I was, you know, I was in this sort of Gagabomb-fueled sort of feeling, and I was sort of, you know, the gay men had done all the foreplay because, you know, they'd bought me all the drinks, rubbed up against my area, and then given me emotional truth. What more could anyone have done to prepare? But something was coming back to me in my Gagabomb-fueled haze, and it was that I am married. So I explained this to the man, and he didn't seem to care about that, like, at all. I mean, and don't judge me, because my husband was in Australia on a business trip. And I thought, no, come on, come on, pull yourself together, just get out of this situation. So I said to him, do you mind if I go and speak to my friends? And he said, yes, go and say goodbye to your friends. So I went across, and I found Matt on the dance floor, and I went, Matt! 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 Did you know not all the men in here were gay? And he went, found yourself a pickup artist, have you? And I went, yes. And he wants me to go home with him. And he asked me a question that only a gay man could ask you in that situation. And is that allowed in your relationship? And I thought, maybe it is. Maybe there's a clause. Maybe there's a clause. I mean, this was the biggest, buffest, hottest man that had ever hit on me. And I started going, was there anything in there in the wedding vows about him being in a different hemisphere? And then I thought, no, 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 it's not. I said, no, Matt, no, it's not. And Matt did this. Right? Everybody say no night to Deborah. Deborah's going home. Scotty, come over here. And Scotty, who's this big other Aussie bodybuilder of a guy, got on one side of me and Matt got on the other side of me, and they started frog marching me out of the club. And the pickup artist saw what was happening and he came around and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Matt looked down at me and went, you do not engage, you do not engage. You keep walking, you do not engage. I said, oh, I feel I should probably have my tongue in his mouth. I should probably say goodbye. And Scotty went, nah, we've all done the passion dash love. I wouldn't worry about it. And the pickup artist came around and headed them off at the steps. And he went, you're controlling her. You're controlling her. And he went like this and pulled out his chest. And both of these big, fantastically handsome Australian gay guys flexed their muscles back. And I looked and I thought, oh, there's going to be a duel! A big gay duel! And I thought, no, 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 I cannot let blood be spilt. Can I? Could I? No, no, I mustn't let any punching happen. No, 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 I mustn't. So I stepped away from the frog marchers on both sides towards the pickup artist. I took one step towards the pickup artist and said, it's fine. And it was at this point, well, I don't know if this is exactly what happened, but this is because I'd had a lot to drink, but this is what I remember. Could you just do this? A rope dropped down through the roof of the gay club. I looked up to see a hole in the ceiling of the gay club. A chopper floated above the ceiling of the gay club. Matt looked up and went, go, 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 go! I climbed the rope, and the rope lifted me out of the gay club into a chopper. The chopper was full of handsome, suited gay soldiers. They said, we'll get you home, man. We'll get you home, man. Ma'am, yes, ma'am. And they floated the chopper over the roofs of London until it floated over the top of my flat in Camden Town and dropped me through the roof, where I woke up in bed the next day. I can't guarantee you that's exactly what happened, but it was definitely something like that. It might have involved one of those pedicabs. Anyway. This is why I say, gay men and men. Because if I'd been at that club with women, this is what would have happened. Can I just go and talk to my friends? Yep, go and say goodbye to your friends. Maddie, 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 did you know that not all of the men in this club were gay? Found yourself a pickup artist, have you? Yes, and he wants me to go home with him. And does he know you're married? Yeah, I think I did say that. Right, where is the bastard? I'm going to talk to him. Mandy would have headed straight over to the booth. There would have been 25 minutes of loud confrontation, 25 minutes of shouting and crying, and I would have gone home with the pickup artist.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Are we ready to meet our guest? She is a fantastic actress and a wonderful feminist. I should say actor. We discussed this in the dressing room and we decided on actor in the end so we didn't get tweets. But she's French and very fancy. You will know her from such films as Harry Potter. Oh, I pushed the right button there, didn't I? Expelliarmus, millennials. And In Bruges. Yes, more grown-up people. And from the fantastic television show The Tunnel, she's come all the way through the tunnel tonight from Paris. It's Clemence Posey!
Hello!
Clemence, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to talk about feminism tonight. How's the landscape? Because you live part-time in France and part-time in Britain.
Yeah.
Although, is that going to be increasingly possible? Because it seems like we've made an excellent decision.
We're pouring concrete in the tunnel.
It's such a terrible thing. Will that affect your relationship with Britain, or do you have a dual passport of some sort?
I don't yet.
Who would like to marry Clemence?
Yes, please.
I would.
Okay, great. Well, yep. You're already married. I'll
can fix that.
I mean,
that's reversible.
I'm only engaged.
Okay.
I'm not committed yet.
All right, let's do it. I don't know what's going to be possible or not. None of us really know what's going to happen.
Had they taken into account that you live here part-time when they had the referendum? I don't think that they had understood that this...
They should have had a bus, really, saying...
Yeah. Oh, we could have done the bus. Clemence Posey lives here part-time.
Don't make her life hell.
That's what we should have done. All the people who were in Harry Potter who are European. That would have done it, though, because there are enough people in this country who are so obsessed with Harry Potter, they would never have allowed it.
If Harry Potter was the bridge between Remain and Leavers? Like, what if the thing we didn't bring up was Harry Potter movies? And everyone went, oh, my God, we're all the same. Like, even though we're from different houses.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. What character is your house from?
She's from the Bourbette. She's from a French school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she's not from... But when she comes to the Hogwarts school,
yeah.
The Hogwarts...
That's very much like the YouTube and the Google.
Generation X! I only read one book.
The Hogwarts school. Okay.
When she... Edit that out. I don't want people laughing at me all over the world. I'll do it
I
real...
I do.
I'll real, do it really casual. Like. So when she came to Hogwarts, what house did she go into?
She doesn't go into a house.
Don't, isn't it? That's the houses, Slytherin and stuff.
Yes, but she's invited for a very special competition.
Oh,
so
okay.
She doesn't have to go into
okay, if she was in a house, which house would she be in? We're in, this is now BuzzFeed, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Was that the diving one?
The house?
No, not the diving house. No. I'm sure they do many other things, but the competition involved the diving?
Yes. The competition involves diving.
So my experience with Harry Potter is that I had only seen one of them, and then my fiancé and I have just moved in with his parents because we're trying to save money and ruin our relationship, and... And we moved in there. It's going well. We saved £300. We're in separate bedrooms. And one night over the Christmas period, they played all of the Harry Potter movies in order, and all of his family are really into Harry Potter. So one night we started watching the first one, and then the second night I wasn't working either. So by the end of the week, we had bonded over about 75 hours of Harry Potter. We became very invested, so I've now seen all of the films. So I love the film.
Thank you.
I don't know why I said that.
So that's the bit about the Hogwarts school for anyone who came to that. If anyone was here like, Clemens Posey is in, let's have more questions about the Hogwarts school. We should probably talk about feminism. Do you feel there's a difference between...
Hogwarts and feminism? sorry, no. Is there a difference between the Hogwarts and feminism? I'm sorry.
No. Is there a difference between Slytherin and Gryffindor? No. Is there a difference between the way feminism manifests itself in France and the UK, do you notice?
Yes, I feel like there is somehow. It seems to be less of a talked about issue in France recently. I feel like recently in England, it is a word that I hear a lot and that I see a lot. And in France, it seems to be a topic that has always more or less been present, and I'm quite proud of France, actually, for that. But I haven't noticed the new wave you were talking about. It seems to just continue its own
So you
path.
Think it's sort of always been there in your lifetime in France?
In my lifetime, I mean, yeah. Not,
of course,
not always,
yeah. No. Obviously not during the French Revolution.
What was your experience of the 1400s?
That it's always been there in your lifetime.
I don't know when the French Revolution was, I know.
I was going to say.
Nope. Just said a number for a joke. Still worked, though, didn't it?
It did work, because you said it quickly and with confidence.
That's right.
And I took it as a joke and moved on, but it isn't.
That's I could feel ages. The tension of and the education in the room. I could smell you going, we know. Is she going to say anything?
It's been a sort of chic constant, just
chic constant
feminism.
I love how everything French has to be somehow.
I'm just imagining...
It was very ooh-la-la, the feminism of...
That's what we're saying. But it hasn't had this resurgence. In response to, like, for example, what's happening now, I think the new wave of feminism is coming up in response to Trump, in response to Brexit, in response to... But you're having some serious...
In response to Brexit?
Yeah, because we will lose a lot of rights... automatically if we come out of the European Union, because we're covered by the European Union. Okay. So we're going to lose a lot of rights. So we're going to have to ask for them back.
Right, that's even sadder than I thought it was.
Yeah, and in some cases, we are not going to be offered them back, so we're going to have to demand them back.
Beg, if we're lucky.
Yeah, I'm feeling more in a demanding mood. So I'm kind of excited about the ability to form private members' bills and sort of see what we can do, because in some cases, we may get more than we've asked for. And I think that democracy seems to have been reactivated. I mean, we have to keep it alive because it's really easy for these things to be exciting for 48 hours and then for it to kind of wane off. But do you think, because you've got Le Pen and some significant scary stuff happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the saddest things, really, that this woman who is running for president is one of the sort of worst enemy of women and women's rights.
And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I don't want to compare Theresa May to Marine Le Pen, but it's...
But you...
I don't want to.
No. No, I... But although she is not as far right, she is still right, and she's still, you know, been responsible over the years for stripping money out of rape shelters and other female legislation and protection has really not been given a lot of time, care or attention by the Conservative government, and now she's in power, it doesn't feel like she's going to sort of step up to the plate for women. Do you ever feel like we sort of make an assumption that women are going to be feminists and we get disappointed when they're not, and do we judge women more harshly than we judge men under these circumstances?
Do we, or do I? I don't.
Oh, you can. So you're just welcome to speak for yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
And Gryffindor. Gryffindor. Speak for yourself. And what's the French magic skill called?
Le beau bâton.
Of course it is. A beau bâton.
Beau bâton.
So if you could speak for yourself and beau bâton, the women of beau bâton, that would be great.
I do. I can't help but do, really, because I don't really understand how a woman could not understand how... I mean the even scarier one, if that's possible, is Le Pen's granddaughter, Marion Maréchal Le Pen, who's even younger, and who was the one who suggested that the equivalent of Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. I guess, should kind of completely disappear from France. And she's my age or younger, and somehow... If a man in his 60s says that, I'm sad and angry and mad, but kind of used to it. Mm. But the fact that a woman in her 30s, I don't even know if she's in her 30s, she might still be in her 20s, can actually start a career in politics by suggesting things like that, I do not understand, and I cannot understand. Not that I understand the man, but I...
No, but we don't automatically see him as part of our tribe unless he says he's part of our tribe. So if a male politician makes sweeping statements about women, is rude about women, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, is overtly sexist, we automatically see him as on the other team. But when it's a woman, it's somehow like a betrayal.
Yeah, it's... Sometimes you're sort of like, mate, this is hard enough without you turning on us as well. Like, we've only got us. And if you go, that's one less of us. Could I ask a question just back on the tone of feminism in France? Did you sense a shift when the burqa ban came in? If you are old enough to remember the first one, because it was back in the 1800s.
It's a tricky thing, the relationship of France and feminists in France and religion. Mm. Because I think a lot of people from any other countries cannot understand the position that France has on those bans. A lot of people in France assume that it's a very feminist position to have, which I think there's a generation gap, actually, on those issues. But I think it's more a generation... So, yeah, to answer your question, sure. There has been a shift. And the burkini thing was the most ridiculous.
It was so crazy.
Like, it was just insane.
Well, that's what I always say. You know, there should be a burqa ban, because the quote was, we won't be able to read women's body language if they're wearing a burqa. And that's true, you know. How else will we know if women are asking for it? Obviously, that is a sarcastic joke.
An edgy joke there from Felicity Ward.
I would think that this would be the room for it.
The jokes of Felicity Ward are not necessarily
the jokes of the guilty feminist.
I should actually say at the top, so I guess in the second half, Desiree Birch and Leila Hussein, I'm really aware that we're three white, effectively middle class, is it fair to say, for middle class women? Sitting around talking about
the hands again. I'm from working class roots, but now I buy quinoa, so.
I feel similarly, I'm colonial. I don't really fit into the class system terribly well. You can become middle class in Britain really quickly.
You just move in with your fiancé's parents.
Yeah. I mean, you just buy a Jo Malone candle and eat at Pret a Manger. It's incredibly quick here. We're going to talk about our challenges in the second half of the show, but I had a situation this week where I was on two panels, and I'm going to talk about my challenge, and women on both those panels said they didn't like the word feminism, and they didn't want to use the word feminism, and they didn't want to identify as a feminist. What do you think charges that word with so much fear from people?
I was wondering that actually on the train in the tunnel, well, I'm still allowed. I think it's just history. I think, I don't know, maybe they're just scared that, or is it that it's the opposite of, for me, it rings like humanist, and that's one of the most beautiful word, but do they think it's the opposite of machist?
Like a machoist?
Yeah, do they feel like it's got a sort of against? I don't know.
Flick, do you ever have a feeling about that word or an association with that word?
Well, I used to, I think. You know, this is the guilty feminist, so I haven't always been where I am now. And where I am now is somewhere that still needs a lot of work as far as, well, life in general, but the history, for one, probably a little education there, the wars. But, so I was on a sketch show about 10 years ago, oh my God, and one of the first interviews that we did, and I still have the clipping and I keep it because it's disgusting, they asked me, what do you think of women in comedy? And I wasn't doing stand-up then. I'd gone from acting and then gone to sketch world, and it was very much, I think it's in Tina Fey's book that she talks about this climate of never enough, and that sometimes when women get into a position of power, they shut the door behind them because they're told to believe that there's not enough jobs, that there's not enough partners, that there's not enough money, so it's like you hold on to what you've got. And my answer was, and I was 25, I think, and my answer was, so what do you think about female stand-ups? And I said, I think they're fine as long as they don't do jokes about women things. Yep, I said that, and I own that, and that is, I do not think that now, obviously, because I'm a stand-up.
But yeah, you're raised, this is the thing, is this why we need to talk about this stuff. We're raised in a patriarchy. We fear that if we're too girly, or if we're not girly enough when we're with the girls, or if we're too girly when we're with men, or if we can't make it at work as a person, not a woman, we can't have any help. What if we join the women's network and we're seen to trying to get somewhere by being a woman? We can't be flirtatious in any way or even overly pleasant because it might be seen as flirtatious. And then
but dress nice because you don't want to be offensive.
Sure.
You don't want to push people away, you know?
No, absolutely. And it's a really tricky balancing act.
Mm.
But I think there are times when we do judge women more harshly because we've been trained to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't speak for anyone else's experience of how they grew up. I grew up in a household where my dad was the primary breadwinner and he liked it like that. And then when my mum got a job, I can't believe I'm saying this on air, their relationship fell apart because he didn't like the balance shift. And I sort of grew up in this very sort of strange dichotomy of having this mother who there was a wharf that was going to be knocked down. And I said, I don't want it to get knocked down. She said, will you write a petition? So I'm like 9 years old and I'm taking these signatures. So I've got this really political mum on one hand, and I've got this dad on the other hand who has really traditional ideas about what women should do. And I grew up with this two sides of my brain telling me different things. And, you know, so I was really into sport and I really love both of my parents and I wanted to impress them equally. So I, on the one hand, I have like respect for myself and I want to succeed and I want to be an incredible woman and I want to be ambitious and I want to achieve things. On the other side, I want boys to like me. This is how I thought. And if I shit on other women, boys will like me because I'm not like them. Like, that's how I grew up with this.
Sorry,
really...
if you shit on other women?
Sorry. That is an expression. Like, if
I thought
about other women.
I thought you'd got involved in some kind
that's
of
that's the only way to get through in this life
movement.
Sometimes, Deborah. You get a woman and you do a shit
thank you.
On a chest.
Thank you.
And you say, this is my territory.
I understand now. How do you feel, Clemens? Do you feel like you've... Shit on the book. No. Do you feel like there's confusing messages that have sort of messed up your feminism radar sometimes, either in your childhood or in your teenage years, or even in the acting world? Like, in show business, when you go up for auditions, do you have this constant fear of, like, I've got to look a certain way or I've got to say certain things? Are there certain places you wouldn't say you're a feminist or you would, but you might feel it's politically dangerous to do that?
It's quite weird because I think actors and actresses have to deal with the same kind of appearance problems. I mean, I think actors actually can even sometimes be a bit more worried about the way they look than actresses, up to a certain age.
Yeah.
And then there's just a gap and there's no roles for women, and the roles for men are just becoming greater and greater.
Yes.
Because a man at 40 is at the sort of
the
beginning of his career and starts getting all the sort of really meaty parts. And a woman at 40 is starting to think of maybe doing something else.
Right.
If she's not in the very few that...
Or Judi Dench or Helen Mirren or...
Or Catherine Deneuve or...
Yeah.
Meryl Streep.
So... Yeah.
Good.
Just contributing, guys.
So, in terms of where that's going, with actors, you know, being able to take on different roles, do you feel there's more pressure on female actors or actresses to keep looking younger than they are, whereas men can kind of...
Well, I just noticed that male actors have less surgery than female actresses.
Yeah.
Because they probably don't feel... But there's a pressure that we put on ourselves as well that is very hard to avoid, and that's, I mean, that's the whole guilty feminist concept, I guess, of knowing we shouldn't be doing it, of knowing we don't have to, but then feeling like maybe you do, you want to sort of create a few more years or whatever, and having to go through that. But yeah, I just noticed that it seems to be much less of a thing in male actors than in female actors.
So do you think that show business is kind of like a microcosm for the world? It's sort of like turned up to 11, that women get an even less fair deal and that they're farmed out really much younger. It's almost like 100 years ago or something, isn't it, show business sometimes, I think?
No, to be honest, I think show business...
I take all of that
back. It's a pretty lucky place to be.
Sure, yeah. Not down up a chimney or down a mine. Yes.
Yeah. No, but also I do feel like crews are getting more and more mixed, as we say in French. Mm. Like, I see lots more girls in the camera crews. I see lots more girls directing. I see a lot of actresses taking actors. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I'm French.
No, we were discussing this backstage, and Clemens was saying in France, it's actor, actresses, it's the right part of speech. So it would sound like French was your second language if you called a woman an actor. But your language, we were talking as well, is much more gendered than ours.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was saying, do you think of a table as a female thing, or is it just part of the language? And you were saying, yes, you do.
Yeah. All my life, a table has been female.
So those glasses, are they male or female?
Female.
This bottle of water?
Female.
Everything on this table is female.
Apart from this. What about an iPad? Is an iPad female or male?
Male.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It was designed by Steve Jobs. Okay, so that sounds like a great place for us to end part one of the show. So, to play us out, put your hands together for the B.I.G. Gospel Choir.
Let's do it here. And So I'm sitting in a bar. Oh, oh. So I'm sitting in a bar in a Guadalajara. In was a guy with a borrowing look in his eye. He said, I've got a powerful horse outside. Climb on the back and I'll take you for a ride. Know a little place we can get there by the break of day. I said, in these shoes,
that naga work.
No way, Jose. I said, honey, let's stay right here.
Sold out tonight. We've been sold out for months. So some, I think some people, you know, then they forget they have tickets or they have a work crisis. But it breaks my heart that there are any empty seats because people were going, can I get a ticket? And I was like, you can't. So
she was really awful about it too. I heard some of the phone calls. She's rough.
No, I wasn't. It upsets me.
The word you used was "fuck you." You don't deserve a seat. That's what I heard.
No,
I think it was you.
I didn't.
I think
said,
it was you.
If you're a better feminist, you would have bought a seat early.
You would have invested in women earlier, so...
All I'm saying. No, I did not say that. Hashtag, I love you all.
Hello, guilty feminists. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for all your support over the last year. Now, many of you have expressed a desire to get involved, to make some of these challenges real and alive, especially along the lines of career development, not apologizing, stepping into the space. So we have some workshops. Now, these are just the start. We're just testing the waters here in London, and then hopefully we'll be able to bring them around.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Around the country and even wider internationally. The first two will be on the 22nd and 23rd of April. Jessica Regan, who's an actor who was in the genderblind Henry V, and I are going to do a workshop on big speeches, male speeches from Shakespeare, speeches from history, taking the space and owning it. You can book for those workshops on guiltyfeminist.com. The price will be £50 for a day workshop, but there will be £10 places for those who cannot afford the £50. And please chip in a little bit more for another feminist to join the workshop if you can afford more. We want these to be accessible to everyone and intersectional. We also have more of a corporate leadership day. Many of you know that I go into the corporate world and work with women on taking up the space. So there's going to be a very big leadership event with me speaking and other brilliant people that you can work with, a special Guilty Feminist episode on negotiation. With Suzanne Williams, who is well known for negotiating with people who have hostages for the government and for other organisations. And that is going to be an incredible special leadership day. Hopefully you can get your company to sponsor you to come on that if you are in the corporate world. That day will be £195, but again, there'll be £10 places. Please chip in more if you can, or pay if you can. If you can't, please write in and you can go on our list for a £10 place. Details of all these things are on guiltyfeminist.com. Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.